IT businesses in Sacramento, California.
From somewhere deep in the cloud and the corners of the earth, this is the Killing It Podcast, with a focus on helping you make sense and dollars of all things IT, with your hosts, Dave Sobel, Ryan Morris, and Carl Polachuk.
Welcome once again to episode 98 of the Killing It,
Killing It Podcast.
So if we sound a little bit different, it's because we have a different toy, tool that we're using this time.
Clearly a toy. Come on.
We're sophisticated technology.
As the audio geek around here, we're trying new stuff out to see if this sounds a little bit better. If we like it and it works with our production quality, we will keep it. If we don't, we are going back to the other process, but we'll see.
We've bought all the cameras and microphones that we can afford in the last 12 months, so now we're moving to new services.
Well, exactly. Now we're upgrading the services to make sure it sounds better.
And as I have often said, you know, what you do for a living by and large is voluntary. And all three of us do this for a living because inside of us, we're nerds who enjoy this stuff. And if you don't enjoy what you do for a living, you probably should find something else. All of this software and services and all the hardware integration, it's my happy place. So messing around with production technologies, cool. Let's do that.
See, I thought your happy place was Hawaii, which is why you went.
I know.
Well, yes, that is still my number one happy place. And and for those of you that can't see us on the video, I'm often wearing a button-up shirt when we do these things, and I'm all put together because you never know when you're going to be recording and in your office and professional. Today, I'm wearing a swimming suit and a sweatshirt, and I kicked off my flip-flops, and I was just noticing, man, I just tracked a lot of sand into the hotel room, and I was like, that's a really, really good problem to have.
See, on the spectrum of dressing up, there's Ryan who, like, always works to be, like, sort of sharp. Carl's always got the good, sharp business casual. And then there's me, who's always, like, bumming around in a T-shirt of some variety at home. It's completely spectrum of professionalism here.
Exactly.
He can't go into the bar because they have to loan him a shirt. So
not just and everyone
a shirt.
Exactly. They'll loan you a shirt with a collar, and me, they're like, dude, take off the tie. You're the only grandpa in here who's wearing a tie. You should probably knock that off. I will say, I have no urge to wear a tie today. It's a fantastic feeling.
You're making me intensely, intensely jealous.
All righty. What are we up to today?
Well, we are sponsored this week by our friends at PCmatic. PCmatic, endpoint security built on a zero trust philosophy, allowing only trusted applications and blocking all the rest. Lightweight, simple to deploy, easy to manage. Find out about PCmatic's unique lead sharing program for MSPs, backed by a primetime national TV campaign. Together, we bring advanced security solutions combined with more than sales enablement. We bring actual leads. Find out more about PCmatic by visiting PCmatic.com/MSP.
All righty. Well, we have a kind of a different, slightly longer topic today for our first topic, because we want to look at the GameStop fiasco or extravaganza, depending on how you want to look at it, and talk a bit about what's going on there. So, when this started, it literally started the day that we did not this recording, but last week's recording. And we looked at it and said, this is the middle of the story. We don't know how this ends yet. So let's not talk about it, you know, the first time. Well, here we are a week later and it's evolved, but
it's cooling. The story is definitely cooling.
It's not gone yet.
And I think the interesting thing is I'll comment on this, that I didn't cover it on Business of Tech, the daily show that I do, because I couldn't quite tie it in to my why do we care question for an IT services person. But I think the reason it makes sense here, and I think the conversation we want to have is the bigger picture stuff. I don't think we want to argue like the particular moves on what's happening, and you're not getting your news on it, but we've got a couple of thoughts on the trends that it fits in with and why we strategically think this is important for people that are thinking about technology.
And I think in a bigger picture, I think you should be interested, and I think you should care. It is a little harder to draw this into a decision you would make within your IT company, right?
So, yes, exactly.
But as a business owner, right, I think that you should know about this stuff. Let me get started with just a super quick introduction for those of you who are not really familiar with some pieces of the stock market. So I just want to talk about what is shorting a stock. And I think this is a pretty straightforward explanation. So if you think about it, let's say that I own GameStop and the price of my shares is $20. So you want to make some money, but you think GameStop is going to go down. So what you do is borrow a share from me. You say, Carl, can I borrow your share? I'll give it back to you in 30 days. Okay, great. So you take my share and you sell it for $20 because you think the price is going to go down. So in a week or so, let's say the price goes down to $10. Now you buy a share at $10 and then you give that to me. So you have bought at 10 and sold at 20. You just did it in a different order than most of us do. Now, obviously, I'm going to take a little extra money for loaning you my share. So what happens is big hedge fund managers, the good side of this is a hedge fund manager can say, I think a stock is going to go down. Like you might say Tesla is overrated or Apple is overrated and that you think it's going to go down. So they will short a stock that they think is going to go down. The bad side of hedge funds is that some of these hedge fund managers bet that a stock is going to go down and then get on the morning TV shows and badmouth that stock. And so some of this, it butts up against legality because those hedge fund managers and everybody on Wall Street is super highly regulated. So they have to be very public to the extent possible on what they're doing.
Well, and there's this also element of the fact that like the math on this is kind of crazy because if you think it's going down and it doesn't, and then the best way to solve that is buy more and like and you can end up in this situation of theoretical infinite loss.
Well, that's exactly it. That if I have a share at $20 and it goes down, the worst that I can lose is $20, right? But if right. I short a stock and it goes up, then what happens is that I have to buy it at a higher rate. So if it goes up to 40, I have to buy that stock at 40 in order to, you know, return the stock that I borrowed. Right. Well, if it goes up to 260, you know, there is no upper limit on how much money I can lose.
So I want to start this conversation by my sort of thought on this whole craziness. So the first is the like I want to acknowledge that shorting as a mechanism has been used to rifle out corruption. Like in particular, the Enron stuff is how they discovered some of the corruption. So I get its mechanism, but I freely admit that as an entrepreneur, it just really bothers me these theoretical constructs on top of the buying and selling of shares of stocks, because this is just one of those, like, because the explanation is so complicated, it's abstracted away from the actual fundamentals of the business. I'm a bit of a believer, like, I totally get the need to raise capital. I understand the idea of creating value in your asset. I totally get the idea of selling portions of that on the market to raise money, to have investment. And I get all of that, and I totally believe in it, right? And I want it to be like brutal and good fights over the value of these assets. And I get speculation, right? And I make this statement of, if you think it's going to be worth more, buy it. If you think it's going to be worth less, sell it, right? Like but when you add this other layer to it that is just so abstracting, and you're betting at other levels, the farther away you move from the fundamentals of the business, the more it just rankles me, because as a business person, as somebody who creates businesses or works with businesses and are trying to create real things, this whole theoretical stuff and game playing just feels gross, and I don't like it.
Well, and that's the thing, right? It's the question of building a business versus betting on a business failing. that your intention is the first problem that I have with the whole concept. But I have argued against this philosophy for years, specifically because of who is empowered to play it, right? It's not just a question of anyone in the market can short this thing and therefore anyone can make a prediction and win based on how accurate they are able to predict. It's because it's those large hedge funds that do it, that it becomes less of a bet and more of a self-fulfilling prophecy. If I have $50,000 to invest in a short, I will either win or lose based on the merits of my prediction. If you have 500 million to bet on a short, and then you get invited on the morning news show and you tell people, I just bet $500 million that thing's going to go down. If it goes down, is that because you were a soothsayer, or is it because you caused it to go down because everybody else watching the morning show went, uh-oh, Carl just bet $500 million that this thing's going down. He seems to know what he's talking about. I'm going to get the hell out. And then it causes the problem. This is the issue, right? To Carl's point earlier, the stock market should be, we believe that it is a highly regulated environment, except for things like this. Because if you talk about your position, you know, we all know that you can get in trouble for a pump and dump the way that large funds do. We know that you can get in trouble for insider trading information. By the rules of the stock market, talking down a stock when you have a short position is insider trading. That is collusion, and it should be regulated, and it's not because of who the players are.
And that's the next layer of this, is that at some level, the stock market is about information. If I know that Apple's about to release their earnings and that they did an amazing job last quarter, I might buy that stock knowing that it's going to go up. And so you are at a disadvantage if you don't have that knowledge. But now we can all, whether it is one of the tools that's been in the news or just E-Trade or Schwab or whatever, we can all track all this stuff in real time. I mean, you can go to Yahoo Finance and track all this stuff in real time, right? So what's happened is, like many, many other things in our universe, the democratization of knowledge. So the interesting thing is what it looks like happened on the Reddit group, which, again, we got all these links in the notes. In the Reddit group, some people said, hey, let's take it to the big guys. These hedge fund managers are all doing this. And remember when I said that you have, like, in my example, a month to give me my stock back? Well, as that target gets closer and closer and closer, it's what they call the short squeeze. Like, there's a day where if the stock hasn't gone down, it doesn't matter. You have to buy and return that stock. And so what happens is, if I have loaned you a bunch of stock and it's going up and I think you can't cover it, I can force you to buy it today. And so you could lose out even if it would eventually have gone down. So the people running this piece of Reddit know what they're doing. They are very sophisticated. They just don't happen to be registered stock traders on Wall Street, and therefore they're not regulated. And in terms of public knowledge, all of this is done on a Reddit that's publicly visible to everybody on Earth with one penny or a billion pennies.
Right. But what's then we make it more interesting, right? Because all of the volumes of these trades and the numbers say that it's not just common folk, right? It's not just a group of Redditors. Like, there are other hedge funds that are playing this game, that are using this information. There are big firms on both sides of this game, and that are playing this, you know, it's not just the common man, David Goliath. They're all rallying on the internet to take down these rich fat cats. Like, it's way more complicated than that. It's become a situation where you've got, you know, people on both sides of it at both levels. And we know this based on the data. Like, we can see this because everyone can see the trades and the size and stuff. And so, it rankles me again, because it's just like, this is just the system being gamed by a select few, when I just like I want the fundamentals of it to be there. Like, again, buy sell based on the value of the company.
It is more like gambling than investing, I will tell you that.
Oh, sure.
Well, like it is, but it still gets, you know, this one highlights one of my principal complaints about the logic of the stock market. And I can remember sitting in a meeting, as of today, it would have been about 6.5 years ago, sitting in a meeting with some fairly prominent folks in the business media and having a conversation about how do you track and reflect the relative health of the economy as well as the performance characteristics of individual players within the economy. Everybody's default assumption in our environment is, well, the stock market, if it goes up, then the economy is doing well. And if the stock market goes down, and if a stock goes up, if a stock goes down, there's an inference about the performance of that player and of the economy at large. And yet, 6.5 years ago, my comment was, yeah, except that every time Apple reports record earnings, then the stock goes down that next day, not because they didn't hit a record, not because that wasn't phenomenally profitable for Apple and everybody who owns their stock. It's because people go, ooh, now that's such a high bar. I don't know if they can further exceed it in the future. Therefore, this might be as high as it's going to go. And good performance becomes a reason to sell, at which point we all go, wait a minute, the stock market is not an indicator of economic health or performance. It's an indicator of sentiment among the investor class about acceleration trends. If you make $1 billion a quarter and you do it this quarter, next quarter, next quarter, next quarter, and you can forecast that into the future, your stock will go down, not up. because you're not going $1 billion, $1.1 billion, $1.2 billion, $1.3 billion, and we can't see the escalating return. I'm not buying performance. I'm buying escalation or acceleration of trends in performance up or down. That's not an accurate measurement of economic performance. Where, and again, you want me to put my little analyst hat on here? I think that for whatever good, bad, or otherwise happens within the specifics of this GameStop Reddit scenario, the one universal good that it will do is that it should teach everybody that machine is not a leading indicator of economic performance. It is a trailing indicator of people's sentiments. And as long as you're okay with that, then the stock market can do what it does. To your point, Dave, you can actually use it to raise capital. Cool. But it's not what the general public thinks it is. That's not a thermometer on economic health.
It's interesting because I've been, I'm trying to think a lot more strategically on company analysis and the way that I look at companies. I've focused on this idea of fundamentals versus momentum. That if you're measuring a company based, you can measure its growth potential based on its fundamentals, like that it is a well-run company, it is executing, it is building something, or its momentum in the market. And I'm thinking of this more like a spectrum versus an and/or. Like you can be on the spectrum tilted toward fundamentals or tilted towards momentum. And then if you can actually layer it with other dimensions to start thinking about companies. But this idea of, because we like to talk about like sort of good, bad, growing, it's like, but it could be growing because of its fundamentals, or it could be growing because it has a lot of momentum and thus it is, the faster it goes, the more it accelerates. And I think that lens for me has started helping thinking about, am I analyzing this company based on its fundamentals or am I analyzing it based on its momentum in the market?
Well, and the I would say probably the 80% in the middle of Wall Street, they really do look at fundamentals and they really do care about future performance. I mean, the Dow Jones, yep. Sometimes you hear it described as the Dow Jones futures, right? This is based on expected future earnings by people who do this for a living. And so what's interesting is that when you have this other stuff, the momentum type moves, that's speculation, right? And so one of my favorite quotes in the GameStop discussion was one of the people on Wall Street saying, GameStop's expected performance in the future is exactly what it was 10 days ago. Right? Yeah. That this stock, when everybody's done playing games, will go back to $4 and it will be worth every right. penny.
Because by the way, it's not a company in an succeeding market. Right? Like, as a gamer here, like the physical
let's go
sale
to the mall here. And check out discs.
This is not a future forward kind of piece here. Like, so we've got to take that bit away.
Well, and one more final note on this, and something that Dave sort of touched on, which is a lot of this is another example in that we're seeing in many, many different forums, where the people on the outside, to one extreme or the other, are the true manipulators. And then within that, you know, there's a group of people on each side who are, you know, kind of the cheerleaders for their side. And then there's a whole bunch of people in the middle who are following. And this is true in political discussions online, in financial discussions, in public policy and, freedom of speech discussions and, you know, gun rights and every other thing you can imagine. That's kind of the layers of what's going on. And to be honest, if you find yourself in the middle of a very big crowd and you're not a leader, you are being used by one side or the other. And whether that is the people running the Reddit or the people following the people running the Reddit, there are people who know a lot more than you do, and you are literally a pawn. So if you find yourself in a really big crowd, it's time to go home.
And I will add to that, because I got to layer it on this, is remember that a lot of people are using things that are, you know, quote unquote, free trading apps, because they are the product and the data right. coming out of that in terms of deal flow. Like, remember that. That's another layer to all of this. And my takeaway here is remember, the data has value. The data and its usage is something that is being monetized by someone in the system. And that is important to understand. And by the way, that's a principle that you take out to anything.
See, and I will make one last quick comment on this that I think is important, Dave. You said, how does this or does it reflect back on the business of a technology professional in the SMB? I believe that it does, as a corollary to things like the coming regulation that's going to affect you as a managed service provider and questions like net neutrality. The answer is you do not wish to be an anonymous person in the middle of a crowd affected by either the regulation or the lack of enforcement of regulations such as they are. The lesson that I take away from this whole thing is if I were a stock market player and that was my principal business, I would want to be on that front line affecting what the regulations and the enforcement were. We live in a world that is about to be heavily regulated. Whether it's the return of net neutrality or whether it's the imposition of security requirements on an MSP in the SMB marketplace, we are about to live through much more regulation than we have. You do not wish to be in the middle of the crowd getting pushed around by other interests. You want to be one who is involved in this stuff, leading the conversation, causing the environment that you can perform in, because otherwise you're going to wake up in a year and go, you know, my business used to be really profitable and easy to run, and now there's so much government red tape. I wonder how that happened. Because you didn't participate in the process while it was being decided.
Well, I laugh and go, listen to my business, a tech show, for that one. Because I talk a lot of regulation there. But I want to pivot to another changing factor in the market for our last topic. You know, Apple is now moving to help opt people out of targeted marketing. Their privacy labels have rolled out, and then now their next step on this is the ability for people to have much more control over the targeting of app, those marketing ads. And so additionally, now, you know, Google's now got a tool to allow you to tell what's going on with this. You know, the idea that it is, you know, will people opt in for privacy? Will it massively change the market? Or will you get bored of unrelated ads and then opt back in to things? You know, guys,
I have to say, I think, and we're going to put a link down below, but the Google tool, if you have not seen it, is pretty amazing. Like every product or every marketing category you are in, according to Google, ever. And you go in there and you're like, why is there ever going to be an ad fed to me about, you know, whatever, competitive wrestling? Because I can't imagine how I got on that list. So opt me out of that. I'm good to go. imagine a world. See, this is what I think. Imagine a world where I don't get any filtering of ads. Now we're back in the days of reading a newspaper where there's ads for diapers and dresses and roofing supplies and all kinds of stuff unrelated to anything I would ever need at this stage.
Yes, please. Let me have it because I'm tired of being creeped out by by these systems knowing I have a fleeting moment of looking at a product and then I get pitched that product for 4 weeks after, and it stalks me around the internet. Yes, I'd rather just please hit me with all of that because oftentimes, I can actually opt out of ads by paying for things. I can pay for services and not have to see the ads anymore. So, please stop tracking me around the internet and I'll pay for the services that I want.
And then you're not the product.
Right. Exactly. See, I have been forcing myself to focus on both sides of this issue for a while now, because the way I see it, I don't like being followed around and I don't like being monetized that way, but I do recognize that there could be value in a curated world where I only see things that are important and relevant to me. My question is, if that business model is actually real, if the value proposition that Facebook specifically is claiming is going to be impaired by this move from Apple, if that's actually real, then we wouldn't opt out of those things. In other words, what I'm seeing out of this whole thing is when Facebook says, you're going to ruin my business model by forcing people to opt into something that should be so valuable, of course they would be motivated to opt in. What Facebook is saying to me is, you don't believe your own value proposition. You say that my life is better because I have curated advertising, but apparently you don't believe that that's valuable enough that I'll continue to do it, because you think, given the opportunity, even in that world full of all the benefits Facebook claims they provide me right now, you think I'm going to run away. That to me is a chink in their armor. What it says to me is Facebook doesn't buy their own value proposition, and they recognize that where they've gone in the last couple of years has been usury. They've gone too far. And
so, Ryan, I don't think that's what they're scared of. I think what's actually happening is we're splitting into a world where the rich can pay to not be advertised to, and those with less money cannot. We're separating into two worlds. And why Facebook is so upset about this is people with money that they want to target are the ones that can opt out. You can now consume TV, music, content, news content, all of these things. I can write a check and ads go away. It's a tax on the poor, right?
Except that if you think about it this way, I can pay for what makes my life better. And if curated advertising makes my life better, I will gladly pay you for that. If it doesn't make my life better, A, I won't pay for it, and B, I will pay to make it stop. If they are afraid that people are going to stop opting in, then what that says is you're afraid that this doesn't make people's lives better. Because rich people pay for plenty of things that the rest of us don't understand.
Apple's move is to opt you out by default.
Yep.
Right? Yes. So the question is, will you not opt in because it's easier to just stay out, or will you go to Google and not opt out? So it turns out Google gets to keep all the money and Apple a year from now goes, well, that didn't work the way we thought it was going to.
Well, except they're not making money on advertising. Apple's business model allows them to do this because Apple makes money is not by these things. So Apple is not damaged in any way on their profitability by letting people on their platforms opt out. They still make just as much bank.
Well, they will make extra money because you and I and people who prefer not to be tracked, who will pay extra for privacy, they are now a more attractive platform than other people's platforms. So it's a market share play.
So a year from now, will we see an ad from Google or Amazon or somebody saying, hey, are you getting you know, all kinds of random crap on your feed, would you like to be targeted? Because you can opt into, you know, the 40-something target, the parent target, the homeowner target, right? Pick one of these six. It's only a dollar.
Maybe.
Yeah, tell us your interest. I absolutely believe that will happen because all markets are reactive. All markets are ebb and flow. And if you take today's ebb is we will buy an Apple product and pay for the privilege of privacy. But then a year from now, I wish I had more curated advertising. I will pay to get back into that. And there's always a way to advertise against the dominant trend. I think you're exactly right, Carl. In a year, you will see those ads.
Ooh, and that's what it's like.
If it happens, we'll report it here.
Will it happen before a burrito is delivered by an autonomous vehicle? That's the actual question.
Unfortunately, it probably will.
Back to the only question that matters. All righty. Well, hey, if you have any comments, questions on any of this, if you have feedback for us, put it in the comments below. We would love to hear from you. And that will do it for episode 98 of the Killing It podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to the Killing It podcast. Please share with your friends and tell everyone to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and all the podcast places. Join us next week and help us keep killing it in the technology business.